some devotees are listening on the internet or other places. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2. Entitled Divinity and Divine Service. We'll be doing text number 32. Yataya Vahito Vanir.
Yataya Vahito Vanir.
Darush Veka Swaryonishu.
Darush Veka Swaryonishu.
Nane Vavati Vishvatma. Bhuteshu chatata puman.
Bhuteshu chatata puman.
Yataya vahito vyanir.
Yataya vahito vyanir.
Darushva eka swanushu.
Darushva eka swanushu.
Nane vabati vishvatma.
Nane vabati vishvatma.
Bhuteshu chatata puman. Yata vyavahito vyanir.
Yata vyavahito vyanir.
Darushva eka swayonisho.
Darushva eka swayonisho.
Naneva bhati vishvatma.
Naneva bhati vishvatma.
Bhuteshu chatata puman. Darupeta Swayonishu Nameka Vati Vishnatma Yatavya Vahito Vanir. Darushveka Swayonishu.
Naneva Bhakti Vishvatma.
Naneva Bhakti Vishvatma.
Bhuteshu
Chatatapuma. Yatavya Vahito Vanir. Darupeta Swayonishu.
Naneva Bhati Vishvatma.
Naneva Bhati Vishvatma.
Bhuteshu Chatatapuma.
Bhuteshu Chatatapuma. Yata. As much as. He. Exactly like. Avahitaha. Surcharged with. Vanihi. Fire. Darushu, in wood. Ekaha, one. Swayonishu, the source of manifestation. Nana Iva,
like different entities.
Hati,
illuminates.
Vishva Atma, the Lord as Paramatma.
Bhuteshu,
in the living entities.
Cha,
and.
Tata,
in the same way.
Puman,
the absolute person.
Yeah.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The Lord, a super soul, pervades all things. Just as fire permeates wood, and so he appears to be of many varieties. though he is the absolute one without a second. Purport. Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by one of his plenary part expands himself all over the material world, and his existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. Matter, antimatter, proton, neutron, etc. are all different effects of the Paramatma feature of the Lord. As from wood, fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects, which are especially treated in the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam is the bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. The Lord can be realized through the oral reception of the transcendental message, and that is the only way to experience the transcendental subject. As fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. His divine grace, the spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive air. Therefore, one is required to approach the proper spiritual master with receptive ears only, and thus divine existence is gradually realized. The difference between animality and humanity lies in this process only. A human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot. Om Jnana Kimrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sya E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sendhu Vyayevacha Gitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vipulishya Shiva Vipal Kibuiti Nandi Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane and Yubhishekshya Sinyapadi Pasvata Deja. Hare Krishna. So, to this verse seems to address in particular the Paramatma feature of the Lord. So, I would like to go back over the purport a little more. And we can try to understand what is explained here. Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by one of his plenary parts, expands himself all over the material world, and his existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. Matter, antimatter, proton, neutron, etc. are all different effects of the paramatma feature of the Lord. So, when I read this, I was a little confused, as I still am, and startled to try to understand this point. Like here he's saying that his presence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. And then he talks about matter, antimatter. So for me it was a little contradictory that matter is material, antimatter is spiritual. So how is he perceived between both of these? So how can we understand that? So as Paramatma, he is there with every living entity, and he's within, so which means that every particle, every atom, every proton, every neutron, which are very, very small gradations of material elements, is described here that the Lord is present. So to understand that, I thought we can go to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15. Sarvasvachaham. Sarvasacham Ridisani Vishto Matas Mutir Gyanam Apohanam Cha Vedaicha Sarvir Aham Eva Vedya Vedanta Vrit Veda Vid Eva Vichaham. So this translation is, I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. And Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and it is from Him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is witness to all his work. Therefore, he begins his work according to his past deeds. So here is a hint in this second sentence here at how the Lord acts with the living entities. And the living entities forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord. So this 4.4 talks about how the Lord's existence is perceived so widely. So here is one way how the Lord's existence is perceived, that with all the living entities forget their past life, but if they think about it for a moment, that why they're acting in a certain way in this lifetime from the very birth, then they can understand that there is some higher source behind it that directs that. So this is described here in Bhagavad Gita as the presence of the super soul, Paramatma, that directs the works. It also witnesses the work of the living entity. Therefore, he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and he remembers, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. So here's the other, the working of the Paramatma again, that supplies knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So there is a higher source that takes care of those matters that it's beyond our control. Thus the Lord is not only all-pervading, He is also localized in every individual heart. He awards the different fruitic results. He is worshipable not only as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the localized Paramatma, but as a form of the incarnations of the Vedas as well. The Vedas give the right direction to people so that they can properly mold their lives and come back to Godhead, back to home. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Krishna in the incarnation as Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. The commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the real understanding of Veda Sutra. So this ties into this purport here, where Srila Prabhupada talks about it says, as from wood fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subject matters, which are especially treated in the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. So the two are very, very similar. They confirm the information of each other. That how this is understood, how the presence of the Lord as Paramatma is understood. And this word kind of strike my attention, legitimate. So from a Vedic point of view, can I ask, what does this word mean, at least to us? Give us some of your understanding as to what this word means. Can we see some hands?
Authorized,
yeah. Anything else? Truly parampara. Yes, truly parampara. Anything else? Yes, through the Vedic literature, like Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are some of the meanings that even if you look from the dictionary of the word, it talks about following the source of authority, taking authority. So this is what this word basically means. So Srila Prabhupada is stressing here that if we understand, if we partake in this process of hearing and chanting from the proper source. So this is in particular, Srila Prabhupada referred this because from one angle, there's so much hearing and chanting going on with these Vedic literatures all over the world. There are many, many hearing and chanting is going on. But the results are different from what we're experiencing. So why is that? One reason we can understand here is that because this hearing and chanting process is not authorized, it's not coming through the parampara. Like I heard there is one man in the Himalayas. He's been lecturing on Srimad Bhagavatam. He's so intelligent that he has every of the 18,000 verses memorized, and he recites it constantly, all 18,000 verses of the Bhagavatam. But I haven't read where the conversation seems to stop there. There's no more information as to what's the result of this recitation and all those who are listening to this recitation. There's no information further as to what are the results? Have there been success? Have there been failures? Have others been developing spiritually? Have anyone been given the proper understanding by which they can come back to Krishna through the words of Srimad Bhagavatam? So, from the Vedic point of view, from the Vaishnava line, we can understand that unless this information is given with the proper authority, through the proper channel, that even though the words are there, but effects would not take place, the proper effects. So this is very important that this process is treated with extreme authority and legality from the Vedic point of view. So I'll continue reading here. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, He is the supplier and digester of foodstuff, the witness of His activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of the Vedas, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The teacher of the Bhagavad Gita, He is worshipable by the conditioned soul. Thus God is all good. God is all merciful. Continue. Anta pravishta shashta jananam. The living entity forgets as soon as he quits his present body, but he begins his work again, initiated by the Supreme Lord. So here's another effect we can understand of the Paramatma. As soon as he takes a new body, then he starts from where he left off in the past. Even though he may have no knowledge of it, he doesn't have the remembrance, except for a very few cases of some people remembering their past life. But the presence of the Lord as localized Paramatma can be realized in this way, that what causes one to act so differently from each other, even though they may come from the same mother and father, why their activities are not the same like the parents of whatever form they may have. Why is it that they are so different? It's all because of the past, as we can understand. And excuse me. Why is one forced or compelled to act in such a way? Or why that tendency is so natural within one that despite what one try to do to change it, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't come about. That nature is there, that actual, inherent, what we can say, from the past. And then they continue on in that way. So this is one way also that we can perceive that the presence of the Lord is there to inject these line of activities to continue with the independent nature of the living entity, to give them the facility to continue as for their own independence. Although he forgets, the Lord gives him the intelligence to renew his work where he ended his last life. So not only does a living entity enjoy or suffer in this world according to the dictation of the Supreme Lord situated locally in the heart, but he perceives the opportunity to understand the Vedas from him. If one is serious about understanding the Vedic knowledge, then Krishna gives the required intelligence. So here's another topic that what is being often discussed, and sometimes it becomes on time to time contradictory about the independence of the living entities, the independence of our nature. So some philosophers claim that we are not independent, we are fully dependent. And Vaishnavas understand that the living entities are independent. Their independent nature allows them to act in different ways. But when they use that independence to make themselves dependent on the Lord to try to find the right source of knowledge, then the Lord fulfills that independent nature of them and supply the knowledge by which they can be directed to the right source. So yet again, the Paramatma is acting in this way of directing the living entities in supply of the fulfillment of their desires. So as we desire, then the Lord fulfills. not that he's our order supplier, but he made that arrangement that he's not going to interfere with the independence of anyone. So sometimes, even as devotees, we think about others who has no inclination to spiritual life, but then they develop so much materially and so forth. And sometimes we think, well, we as devotees, we're making so many sacrifices, and then there's so much struggle and so forth. But one should not be envious of anyone, any personality, because from the higher source of knowledge, we understand that when one desires, then the Lord fulfills. So if we desire spiritual life, then the Lord gives us facilities to where we can be calm and tranquil and peaceful to practice. And if one develops or desires something else, then the Lord fulfills that as well. So sometimes others may seem to be cruising along, whilst others may be struggling along. But either way, whatever is best for us, the Lord provides. So this is another way that the Paramatma feature works. And I'll just skip ahead a little bit. So therefore, the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. The Vedas give us direction by which to understand Krishna and the process of realizing Him. The ultimate goal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta Sutra 114 confirms this in the following words. Tatu Samanubhaya. One can attain perfection in three stages. By understanding Vedic literature, one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing the different processes, one can approach Him, and at the end, one can attain the supreme goal, who is no other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as one practices what Srila Prabhupada talks about here, of this legitimate process of hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects, then gradually our understanding unfolds, and we gradually come to a higher and higher level of spiritual realization. It's a gradual process. So it's not something that happens overnight. And if we continue to have dependence on this authorized knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam, just like yesterday Mother Kuti was talking about, we're having so much dependence on the phones and so many different aspects. So if one use that dependence and place their faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then the benefit is tremendous. So I'll continue reading this purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. The Lord can be realized through the oral reception of the transcendental message, and that is the only way to experience the transcendental subject. That is another sentence that really startled me, that with all I've been practicing for some time, but still sometimes all these things don't click until when I just read it here, that to understand the process of hearing is so important. Srila Prabhupada is saying there that it's the only way. So the best understanding is to hear from the authorized source. And when that stage is accepted, and I use that word accepted based on my own experience, that even though it's here and I've been taught so much, but I'm gradually understanding now that I have no acceptance of these, and as such, this result, the required result is not coming as it should be. So there's a difference between hearing and listening, or we can say hearing and comprehending, or hearing and accepting, or there are different terms we can use to differentiate between words just coming to us and we digesting those. We pay an attention to digesting those words. So it makes a huge difference. To continue here in the purport, as fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. So this is another sentence that struck me very much when I read it. If you look at Srila Prabhupada's use of words, saying that the divine consciousness of man, so Srila Prabhupada said, use the word consciousness, divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace, not another divine consciousness. So when I looked at that, I thought, what's the difference here? Why did Srila Prabhupada mention like that? But then he continued, his divine grace, his spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages. Injected through the receptive ear. So the divine grace Srila Prabhupada is talking about here is the spiritual master or our spiritual authority. So not only that this divine consciousness comes from another divine consciousness, but it's more than that. So divine consciousness is one who are transcendental. So what does this divine grace mean? Can we get a little response on that? What is... Yeah, you said Shikshaji. What are some of the understandings of divine grace?
I'm thinking grace specifically as far as causeless.
Causeless, okay. Any other ideas? What is divine grace as against divine consciousness can imply here?
Personal.
Say that again, Mataji.
It's personal.
Personal?
Personal.
Okay. Yeah. So, yes, Marusikula?
Mercy.
Yeah, mercy. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That grace, not only that one has a divine consciousness, but he's shedding that divine consciousness through his own accord to someone else who is willing to accept. So this grace and divine consciousness, I see it as a gulf of a difference. Because not only that the divine consciousness is there, but he's gracing that divine consciousness on us. The spiritual master is doing that. So that's a whole different level of just having a divine consciousness. So he's sharing that, he's giving. So therefore one is required to approach his, the proper spiritual master with receptive ears only. Yet again coming back to hearing. And thus divine existence is gradually realized. The difference between animality and humanity lies in this process only. A human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot. So, when I read this part of the purport, it refers me to Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tad Vini Prani Patena Parikashnina Shivaya, Upadeksyantite Gyanam Gyaninas Tatvadarshi. Very popular. Just learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So, not only that they are knowledgeable, the spiritual master, but they have a realization, they have actually seen the truth. So how that is achieved or how they have seen it, I'm yet to understand it. But as for us, if we give the oral reception, then that grace comes. So Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse: the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in a disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination of spiritual understanding. So, in this purport, there's one particular mention here that satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. So, initially, and I guess until now, I have a little problem in understanding that. Because as we look around our society today, there are varieties of spiritual masters, varieties of gurus, that outwardly appears to have instructed their disciples differently. Or they have different requests from their disciples. And how does that satisfaction, that service to satisfy that guru, how does that become the impetus for receiving the blessing from that guru? Yes, sometimes it may appear that the spiritual master may ask something that is so different of a disciple that it doesn't appear to be quite conducive with the general mass of the preaching. Sometimes it might be something personal. And when that happens, if that disciple follows that order and executes that, then the guru becomes pleased. And when that happens, then the blessings comes down. So one question I have is that, is it that we only satisfy the needs of the guru that has, let's say, a personal desire, or has a particular desire? Only if we fulfill that, then we get the blessings? Or if we practices spiritual life, he practices all the rules and regulations and so forth, how does that work? I'm not sure if I put over myself correctly. Yes, Madam Mohan Prabhu, you want to use the microphone?
I generally think it's just black and white, so I was thinking it's the internal potency is based on pleasing. The pleasure potency is pleasing Krishna. So, and the material energy is based on forgetting Krishna and wanting to be Krishna. So that submissive attitude and trying to please the spiritual master is what is the internal potency. So it, as you mentioned, comes down. So the descending realization uncovers the living entity from the modes of nature by being submissive. So it's internal potency, okay. Not the external potency.
Okay. I guess sometimes we see that, like, instructions may appear very irrigated, but it's also said that the guru is one because the instruction is one. So the basic understanding of that is that the guru's instruction, at least in Vaishnava culture and ISKCON, is to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulated principles. There are so many other instructions that may appear to be different. Some he instructs to do book distribution, like Srila Prabhupada instruct one sannyas. Well, now you took sannyas, don't stay one place, travel and preach. Then immediately turn around, he said, now this other devotee, you have taken sannyas, now stay here and manage. So it appears to be contradictory instructions, but if those are followed, then the blessing is there. So, yes, Chirukram Prabhu, you're going to say something.
I was thinking there is a general instruction where all disciples are instructed to follow the rules and whatnot, preach, but then he has specific instructions to different disciples. You go to China, you go to Australia, you worship the deities, whatever. But the general instruction is like the God spiritual master one. It's same applied to all disciples. Mm. You know, but then the specific instruction. So that's where it differs.
So I guess, are you indicating that is an internal relationship between that guru and that particular disciple as an individual, that this particular instruction is given?
Well, the guru knows the disciple, and he knows his strengths and weaknesses, and he instructs him accordingly. So, I don't know if it's a chocolate.
Yeah, I have a little contrast. Some years ago when we were living in the Miami temple, back in the 90s, there was one disciple of Ridananda Maharaj. He got in some conflict with the temple management. He's a temple devotee also, Ramacharya temple. And they were instructing him to do one service, and he's saying no, that he got a particular instruction from his guru, and he always carried a letter with him. So he took the letter out and he read a letter from his guru saying that he should do Sankirtan. But what was happening is that he wasn't a good Sankirtan devotee, at least the material calculations in terms of production with current ISKCON circumstance. Like, He would go out with $10 from the temple and come back with $8 of book sales at the end of the day. And being all day out there, and the temple needed him for other services to assist. So he showed his letter that, no, this is an instruction from his guru, and he read where the guru, you know, says, yes, you should go out and distribute books. So then a thought came to my mind as I was part of the management there and said, can you read us the letter that you wrote to your Guru Maharaj? And he hesitated. So I said, please tell us what you mentioned to your Guru Maharaj, what you either spoke with him or wrote him. So then he took out that letter and he read what he wrote. So he wrote asking that he doesn't want to do any other service, if the guru can sanction that he does this service only. So to satisfy the disciple, you know, then he wrote that letter. So in that way, I was thinking, is that actually a blessing that one receives, or is a facility to continue in devotional service? You see the point I'm making? That if he carry out the instruction, yes, the blessing would be there. But what is the basis of that instruction? Is the basis of that instruction a free will of the spiritual master, or is it a forced circumstances by the disciple that caused the guru to present this instruction? Just like there, you had this one pastime in Srila Prabhupada's Dinamrita, with this one devotee who told Srila Prabhupada, or asked, I'm not sure which one, that he wants to get a divorce. And Srila Prabhupada said yes. And generally, it's divorce is not in Srila Prabhupada's dictionary at all. So then when his servant asked Srila Prabhupada afterwards, why did you sanction that, you know, you were saying no? He said, well, he's going to do it anyway. And by me sanctioning it, it helps him in his spiritual development. So sometimes these things are there. Like there was another instance, once I met a disciple of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And he told me a story that he was in Bhubaneswar, that's where Gaur Govinda Maharaj stays. And he was a temple devotee, and then all of a sudden he went in and he asked, he said, Guru Maharaj, can I go to Vrindavan? So then Guru Maharaj said, yes. So as he was walking out, he was wondering, you know, why such a, you know, just a very cool and like instant response. So then he thought for a minute and he came back in the room and he said, Guru Maharaj, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to stay here and serve. So that's when he got the understanding of the difference, that he presents his desire, he didn't leave himself open so that the guru can present the best for him. So he made it a kind of a circumstantial, he made it conditional so that that order comes down from the spiritual master. Yes, Sri Rukhampu.
Yeah, but the guru could override what the disciple requests. I mean, you know, like, I want to do sankirtan, maybe Prabhupada can say, no, you go and serve the deities or something else, you know, because the guru is within that position to do.
Yes.
Especially to the senior advanced devotees.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
A neophyte, he might be a little more lenient.
Yeah, well, that's, therefore there are time, place, and circumstance involved, that where the spiritual master may find it, you know, best to use his authority, or may find it best to act like the Lord does, to just fulfill the desire of a particular devotee. So it depends on what the situation is, then he may act in that way. I've seen many cases in like my own service where now I have to deal with the gurus and their disciples, and gradually I'm learning, seeing these different circumstances, how they give instructions to their disciples or suggest, of course, in conjunction with the management, just because each individual are so different and their level of surrender is different. So they cannot reciprocate as well. I know in my own case, when I was back in the 90s and 80s, when I was the personal servant of my Guru Maharaj, he was very heavy, and he would chastise so very much. And so I used to be like the rod, like the whipping pole, because I used to be close with him. First of all, he told me, he said, if you're going to become my servant, you'll have to be prepared that others' harshness or what they deserve can potentially come out on you. So I said, okay, no problem. I had no idea what it means. Afterwards, I wish I didn't, you know, get started. But anyway, so one day, He told me, he said, I'm so very, you know, sorry for this one, my other God brothers. And then I had the audacity to ask why. And then he said, you know, that the way I can chastise you, I can't chastise him. So I'm seeing that, you know, he needs to be improved, but he cannot take chastisement, he cannot take correction. And as such, I can see how he's gradually, like, slipping in the standards, but I feel helpless in helping. So that's another circumstance of the disciple not placing himself in that position whereby that divine grace can be showered. So there are so many different circumstances. So anyway, are there anything else? Anyone else would like to discuss? I kind of cut short here, but time is running out. So I guess we can stop here. Thanks. Oh, yes, Mataji, on last night. Yeah? At that time, he was a Brahmi Swami, but he stepped down. And now it's Birabhau Prabhu. He's Grihastha. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.